Hey friends, mark your calendars. The Intentional Motherhood Retreat is coming up October 23rd through 25th in Portland, Oregon. It's a meaningful few days to slow down, connect, and refocus on what matters most in your motherhood journey. Also, some exciting news, Intentional Fatherhood has officially launched on all podcast platforms, including YouTube. So go subscribe, check out the first few episodes, and share it with all the fathers in your life. For more details and registration info for the Motherhood Retreat, you can go to intentionalparents.org, or you can go check out our new website for fathers, intentionalfatherhood.org. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. Welcome back to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Happy New Year. We're all four here. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hi, hello.
Yeah, Diane's here too. Yes, no one heard you. This is our first episode all together. So I'm so glad that everyone has made it back to the table. Phil and Diane, you've been sick. You gave me that sickness. Thank you. And now you are both feeling at least good enough to talk into a microphone, which
yes,
I'm very thankful for.
Elizabeth is starting to get the same thing. So we're passing this around, a family gift.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sloan had a little bit of something, but she's doing better. She's been totally fine. We've had a couple weeks off. We had everybody out to Bend for Christmas. We had the whole
so fun
Comer clan, the Opperman clan, the Moser clan. We were all here. And then did it snow? No, it didn't snow then.
But then, it was like warm.
In the last couple weeks, last couple week has been like snowing.
Snowmageddon.
Lots of snow. Yeah, because I remember maybe our last time we were all four together, Diane's like, we haven't had any snow. It has come.
Yeah,
It made up for it. And so it's been busy. But we just wanted to say Happy New Year. We're back. We're jumping into our new rhythm for 2024, which is bizarre to think it's already that time. And we have some fun things. So this coming weekend, we're actually going to be in San Diego. So for any of our friends.
No snow.
No, 78 degrees on Friday when we go.
It looked like that. I mean, it could change, but you know.
It's just not negative four.
It was negative
which
four.
Which is great.
So by the way, I've learned something. Our house is one kind of cold when it's like, you know, 20 outside. It's a whole different kind of cold than negative four.
Yeah.
I mean, even with your heater on, like everything changes when it's negative four. It's like, I don't think these houses were built for that.
I set my morning tea on the windowsill next to my chair and it was cold. and this is like in triple pane windows here.
That's amazing.
I know. I was asking Brooke, I was like, what about the places that it's like Alaska? Like it's like this year round. They must have to build houses differently.
They totally do. Yeah, they absolutely do. Because they would die. It's pretty simple.
It's sounding like a bunch of West Coast wimps. If you live in Minot, North Dakota, if anybody's listening in, you're just laughing. What are you talking about?
My whole extended
Canada.
Family.
This is our life.
Edmonton, Canada.
My whole extended family is from Minot, North Dakota. Ironically, that's very funny that you said that. Okay, so we're going to be in San Diego. We're going to be at Rise City Church. We can't wait. So if anyone is listening from Rise City Church, can't wait to hang with you. And then if you are a friend and you have not had a chance to come by and say hi, on Saturday, Friday night, they're doing some stuff on marriage. Phil and Diane, you're going to talk on marriage. Saturday is all about parenting. We have some fun stuff. We're going to talk about four essentials for a flourishing family. Elizabeth and I, we're also going to talk about parenting in the digital age. Phil and Diane, you're going to talk about the fact that children are the next big thing. I'm excited for you guys to talk about all that. So we're going to be there. And then on Sunday, we're going to do a live Q&R
all Sunday through their gatherings. We just found out.
So and this parenting weekend is not just for people that goes to Rice City Church.
No, exactly. Right?
They're inviting people in the area. Everybody. So if you live in San Diego or SoCal, come.
Come. And yeah, if you want to make a trip or a weekend.
We would love to meet you. Put a face to the people that we're speaking with.
And if you want to know more about that, you can just click the link in the show notes. It will be there today. And Rice City Church is where you can find that. And then also just another quick thing. We mentioned this last podcast when Elizabeth and I just did one, but we also are going to be in June, third week of June, June 23rd through the 29th. We're going to be in Forest Home Camp. We did this last year. It was real fun. Phil and I did it last year before it was you and Diane, Phil. You guys did that. That was great. But all four of us, we're taking over the whole speaking thing for the whole week. So all four of us will be there morning and night. We're going to split it up. We're dreaming about some stuff to talk about, which is going to be fun. But that's another opportunity. If you're a family and you're thinking, well, I want to have some awesome opportunities for my kids and family to connect, but I also want to grow and learn. This is a great week for you. So check that out. Yeah. That's a link in the show notes
and
as well.
And we love it. I mean, family camp is really, really fun.
Yes.
So,
and we're bringing our whole crew. That we are crossing our fingers, bringing literally our children as well. So we will see how that goes.
In the mountains, high above LA.
High above LA. And we we just found out we're also going to be tacking on our Camp Comer, which is a big deal right after that, which is really fun. And that's something we do every year. I know you've heard, you know, if anyone's listened, you've heard us talk about, we try to get together once
Comer
a year.
Christmas and Camp Comer whenever we can. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that's where we all get together and we just share a couple of days. But anyway, all that to say, if you're interested or you're able, we'd love to meet you. Come out for that. Please just, if you're interested, you can either go on, where is it? On Instagram, you can check on, click the link in the profile. It's there, or you can check that out right now when you're listening in the show notes. So today we want to talk about a big word. It's a bad word to some of us, but it's an important word, and that word is no. So we want to transition, and
this just made me think of one of Bertie's therapists at one point said, I'm pretty sure that the word no is like a big OCD trigger for Bertie. So I think you should just stop, try to avoid using that word. I was like, well, what do I use instead? She goes, I don't know, but that word really seems to be one you should avoid. I was
like, you know what's funny? We wouldn't have had to pay anybody to figure that one out.
No.
Like, we know that internally.
I could have told you that for free.
Yeah. Pops knows that. Mama knows that. We actually were talking about this. We actually had We're going to be putting out an episode on the idea of accidental mentoring, which you're just to tease you. We were going to do that episode, but then we started telling, because we're family, we also share just like random stories about what's happening.
They started telling us this story that just happened this week with a couple of their kids. And about partway through, I stopped them and said, this is just gold. This is what I would have died for when I was first generation Christian, trying to figure out how to do this, especially with teenagers. And leading up to teenage years. So we did kind of a pivot.
Yes, we did. And I don't agree that it's gold, but I appreciate your kindness. I appreciate it. I think we're struggling. We're fumbling through what it looks like to.
No, actually, you handled a very difficult situation very well and in a godly way.
Mm. Yeah.
And
thank you.
We think we need you to share that, and because we think there's some gold in it, some really important points for parents who are all facing similar struggles, you know, every week with their kids.
Well, we did learn a lot of it from you. So it takes one to know one. We've learned, we've had to practice a lot of this. You were going to say something, Elizabeth, were you?
No, I just was kind of laughing on the inside because the amount of failure stories we have in comparison to, like, we happen to have two this week that worked out well.
Yeah.
But please know we could spend the next 10 years of the podcast telling you. Oh, absolutely.
Well, no, they don't always work out well, but there are reasons these worked out well. And I think we should share them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that you should set up. Diane's kind of hosting, like,
okay, that's right. It was this.
We're asking
this
you to tell the story.
My idea.
Yeah. So Diane's going to take over. Diane, please take over the podcast if you'd like.
Well, hold on. I feel like before we tell the story, I think what we were talking about of really kind of the heart behind this episode is, you know, what we all feel, what Brooke and I, our generation of parents, so often feel is that there were generations before us that. No was a very easy word for them to use, but it was a lot of no because I said so.
Yes. Kind of stop a repressive crying. Sort of no, don't bug me.
Yeah. Very like, what's the word? Authoritarian.
Authoritarian.
Yes.
Dictatorian.
Yeah.
Dictator.
And And with that came a lot of suppression of, you know, quote unquote, negative emotions, the harder emotions.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what we're seeing currently in our current time is, as we so often see, and we all have propensity towards, is the pendulum swinging all the way the other way. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be like that. That created a lot of unhealth, and it did.
Yeah.
And there were some decent things that came out of it too, but also a lot of emotional unhealth. So we've swung the pendulum all the way to the other side of no is a bad word. Mm-hmm. We give very little boundaries. Our kids can say whatever they want, however they want, whenever they want, and we do what they're telling us, basically. Mm-hmm. Now, that's an extreme, but I think there's a real beauty in a balance of kind of both. Mm-hmm. Of there is a way to say no that is not oppressive and suppressive, that you can still talk about how that no is hard for the kid that is coming up against that brick wall and they're really unhappy about it and their feelings are real and they're valid. But it also doesn't mean that we stop being a parent. And that's a very delicate balance to strike at times. But there's so much beauty when you can strike it.
Yeah.
And it's what we see in scripture.
You are enjoying content brought to you by Intentional, a crowdfunded nonprofit that desires to help families and marriages all around the world in the area of discipleship and spiritual formation. This offering is completely free, thanks to the generosity of our growing community of legacy builders. Legacy Builders is a group of people from all over the world that gives monthly to fuel this dream that we have in our hearts of seeing discipleship to Jesus in the family become a way of life. A monthly gift of $5, $10, or even $30 can continue to fuel this ministry forward. Our dream is to invite people like you to join and partner with us at a financial level and to see this work integrated into families. So as you listen to this podcast, would you prayerfully consider joining us? Would you allow the Spirit to lead you, even if it's just a few dollars a month? Thank you so much. And may the Spirit of Jesus give you wisdom, clarity, and joy as you pray about joining us. If you want to join today, go to intentionalparents.org and click on Give.
One of the things we talked about before we hit record, I think, Diane, you said, you know, one of the reasons we want to, and this is, I know, foundational for Elizabeth and I, is one of the reasons we want to teach our kids no is because that's real life.
It is, like, yes.
We want to prepare them.
We're calling this episode The Gift of No, because
whether we call the episode or not, I think it's a great, it'll be in the title for sure.
You are giving by helping your child with a no. You are giving your child an incredible gift. Mm-hmm. And the goal is that as they mature into adulthood, nobody's ever going to get this down pat and perfectly.
You're right.
But as they mature into adulthood, they are able to accept, they don't have to love them, but accept the inevitable thousands of no's that will be thrown at them for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. And the kids who don't ever learn this are in a little bit of a, I would say, a perpetual state of dissatisfaction with their life, because they just feel like anything unfair, especially, or inconvenient or hard should not be part of their environment in which they're doing life. And that's just not realistic. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the ways that you had said it, and I know this is the way that we've been thinking about it, is we're trying to raise them to, in a micro moment, you know, learn the word no, so that they have the ability, I think you had said, to wrestle their own soul into submission.
Yes.
Because they are going to have to hear no from bosses, from life. I mean, how often, even in adulthood, does life just say, no, your dreams, guess what? Not happening the way you thought. The person that you thought you married, you married them. Guess what? Maybe not. Is exactly what you thought, or it's more challenging. Or
and some people are able to make that pivot, and they can be open to what a different path could be for them. And some people spend their whole lives
debilitated,
like sulking, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
That the thing that they thought was going to happen didn't happen.
Right.
And they can spend their entire lives stuck.
Or good portions of their lives.
Or just on a roller coaster of out of control emotions of the inevitability of disappointments in their lives.
Yeah.
Because disappointments are kind of a no. You're disappointed because things didn't turn out the way you hoped.
But with all that we're saying, I think there's an interesting or just really important thing to maybe highlight with all of this, that no is something that we have to say all the time to our kids.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a way in which we can say no that breaks their spirit. And there's a way that we can say no that builds into relationship.
Yeah.
And I know that we have done both. We have learned by doing it the wrong way that, man, there's a no that when we're like, because every parent's going to be saying no a lot, especially when they're younger. But I think as they get older, your no's become more, become weightier.
And they become they have to become a conversation.
They're way deeper and they take so much more time, I'm finding a lot more time. Mm-hmm. And usually the time that I don't really feel up for it or feel, you know.
Always at night.
I don't feel prepared for it. So I think it's also that's one of the things we want to talk about today is how do we get to a spot where we talk about when we say no and we mean it and we hold the line, but we can do it in a way, hopefully, that brings life instead of death, that can bring honor to your kids, respect to your kids, but also honor and respect to who you are as a parent, to a mother and a father, because that's both involved. Phil, I feel like you want to say something. I'm watching you. What do you want to say? You got some stuff. I see.
Oh, I was just thinking that when you teach your kids to honor their mother and father's decisions.
Yep.
When they're yes and when they are no, you're actually teaching them how to follow God, because God doesn't always give us everything we want. And we can just have a little pity party over it, or we can finally realize that He knows us better than we know ourselves, and that He hears every prayer and He cares perfectly and loves us unconditionally. And yet He has a perspective we just don't have. Because He's eternal and He's God, and parents have a perspective their kids don't have, you know, because you've lived longer and you've watched them from the time they were born. And I think that, you know, the Lord, we've all had that experience later on. We say, man, I'm sure glad God didn't answer that prayer the way I was asking.
Yep.
So He always hears, and sometimes He grants that request immediately. Sometimes it comes later because He's making that even a bigger gift, but we just can't see it.
Yes.
We maybe see it in hindsight, and sometimes maybe we don't fully. Yes. And sometimes He just says no because He has something better, or He knows that what we think is really right for us is actually not right for us.
But isn't that interesting?
And so that, I think we're teaching our kids to eventually trust God with His nose. That's what's going on in my mind. Yeah. If you want what's on my face, that's what's on my face.
Sorry to interrupt. Yes, you're right.
And Jesus was able to do that. I think you're going to read the scripture.
I'm going to read that, but Diane, do you have something?
And He's always our example.
Just that, you know, in my own failure story, really, of failure to handle something difficult in my life when as a 26-year-old mom, I was told I was going deaf. Eventually, after throwing temper tantrum after internal temper tantrum, I came to the point of where I really felt like God said no. And it has become the beautiful no.
Yes.
To me. Yeah. And I think, Elizabeth, you took a picture of a book.
Yeah, there's a book called The Beautiful No.
There's a book called The Beautiful No.
I know nothing about it. But
I have a chapter in my book called The Beautiful No, because it has become to me the beautiful no.
Yeah.
But I could not know that at the time. It wasn't at all beautiful at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a terrible attitude until the day of surrender. And then from that moment on, it became increasingly like day by day by day over the years. Now I look back and say, oh, this was the greatest
gift God
could have possibly given, not only to me, but to the faith of our entire family.
Yeah.
And so you want to know more about that, you can read my book.
Yes.
You know, he speaks in the silence.
Let's put that in the show notes too. Yeah, actually, but you're right. That is it. I think you did write beautifully about that. And there's so much there. So if you're wanting to know more about that, that is a great resource. We should actually do an episode on that. That'd be fun. We'll have a whole conversation about it. But where we kind of want to land this in, and you know, just biblically, we're obviously all Bible people and we love Jesus and we love the Spirit. We love the things of the scriptures. The one thing is interesting is like Jesus had a father and he said no.
Yes.
And the most famous scene, obviously, that you could probably imagine is the Gethsemane scene. Mm-hmm. And I'll just read Mark 14. If you remember, read the whole passage, but to maybe just give a little snapshot, verse 35, going a little farther, he fell on the ground and he prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. And he just says, Abba, which means father. He said, everything is possible for you. Like acknowledging, like even with parents, we have so much power over our kids' lives, like to form and to shape. And we have a lot of energy and capacity to make their life either good or bad. And he just says, take this cup from me. But then this phrase, which is what we wish all of our kids would say, yet not what I will, but what you will be done, father or mother.
Said no kid ever.
No kid. Not until they're adults usually. And they thank you for it when
Comer kids ever said that.
But I want to just highlight that as, just think about it. Like Jesus literally had to hear the worst no.
Yeah.
And he can, like the worst no, he's like, can I live?
Yeah.
No. Like that's, I need you to fulfill what I've called you to do. I mean, and all I say to that is like, whatever no you're having to say to your kids right now, it's hard and it feels hard. It feels hard to them. It feels hard to you. And it is hard, but it is not death. No. hopefully. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I just think perspective is important and Jesus can empathize with us. He can empathize with your kids. He can empathize as a, you know, God, our father can empathize with us. And I think there's something about the father saying no that also is really important, which we'll talk more about in a little bit. But there's something really important about the father, because I have four kids and I will just say, I watch Elizabeth often being very consistent and saying the word no, but it does not hold the same kind of tune that it does when I say no. And I mean, I remember this growing up for myself. But it is bizarre how they will just be like, well, she doesn't really mean it, when you absolutely mean it. Like, in no way are you like a pushover. You're not
we
like
can
a,
wear her down, but we'd never try to wear dad down.
I just like, I don't, it's really interesting. There's something there, right?
There was certainly in our family.
I was going to say, did you guys, you guys experience that with your kids growing up, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Oh, absolutely. In fact, of both of my sons, at one point, I had this startling realization that I was actually submitting to my
that's
little boys.
That's of no surprise knowing both of your boys. Both of them are strong personalities.
They are.
Yeah. All of a sudden you're like, okay, John Mark, I mean, you might be 10, but you're probably right. And he probably was. That's the annoying part. He probably was.
He at least would have thought he was.
So yeah, maybe this might be a good time to share some of the story.
I was hoping that you would of bring us into it.
Yeah, so essentially what's going on. So we're having to make this big decision that we'll let everybody in on. It's not really crazy. Everybody's kind of going through it. We're trying to discern and figure out what to do because our son is going to be in high school next year.
This year.
Oh my goodness. Yes, this year. Next school year. Mm-hmm. You know what I meant?
Yeah.
And that's a really big decision. Mm-hmm. And we feel the weight of it. And there's so many different things he could do. You know, do we do homeschool? Do we do private school? Do we do public school? If he does a public school, what kind of public school? Is it local? Is it kind of, so we've heard some good things about other schools. And we have had so, so much kind of like just turning and trying to figure out what should we do. And so for us, we've been in the middle of trying to figure out how do we make this decision.
We're investigating. Looking at all the options, praying a ton. But I think feeling the real weight of, you know, you described it great, Brooke, in that this is really the first, what did you say? First step of letting go.
This is the first time we've had to go, okay, we've been raising him for almost 15 years. We're really going to put him in a situation where he has to actually educationally, socially, practically hold a weight that he's never had to hold before, which is a really good, normal thing. It's part of his development. It's really good for him. He needs it. We're seeing, like, I think him going to school is actually going to be really essential for his development. Mm-hmm. That said, it is still like a, and I told him during this conversation, like, this is kind of scary for us. Like, this is the first moment we're kind of throwing you into these different situations. And I think you're going to do great. I also know the power of the world. I know
that the world is crazy.
That, and that in some way you know that, but at the same time, you don't know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was a lot of, so we're, that's the backdrop that's of the this issue. Story mm-hmm. that we are trying to discern what's best for him. And there's difference of opinion, and we've brought him into the process. What are you thinking? Where do you want to go? What are you interested in? You know, we're trying to be really aware of his needs too. But where this kind of has all accumulated and what just kind of happened the other day was he was feeling one way about one school, which I won't mention. And he was feeling another way about another school, which I won't mention. You can just know that I was for one and he was for another. And that's all you need to know for... And he was kind of in passing, he had stopped by the office and I was trying to get some work done. I was not being an intentional parent. And I was like, son, I really don't have time to talk to you about this right now because I'm doing stuff to help other parents do these types of things. So if you could just chill.
In your defense, he wasn't supposed to be coming by the office. He got dropped off there after snowboarding.
Yes, it was totally not a big deal. I had a phone call that I couldn't move. And anyway, it's not a big deal. But I'm sitting there laughing at this whole thing like... And I actually kept postponing the phone call because we were having this conversation. Yeah. And I told the person that I had the phone call with, I was like, okay, here's the deal. I'm not usually late to meetings, but I also have to practice what I preach and I couldn't not deal with this and be on this phone with you. So he understood completely. It was really funny. Anyway, he kind of says to me, like, I really think I should be able to make this decision on my own. And I was like, that's great. That's not going to be how this goes. Like, I totally understand. And I was not being thoughtful or listening to him well because I was trying to like end the conversation, but I didn't want him to leave the conversation thinking there's a good chance they're going to let me make this decision because I knew like that's going to set him up even, you know, for more failure. So I just had said, you know, I understand that you think that you should be able to make this decision. Ultimately, your mom and I will have to make this decision, but we listen to you. We are going to listen to you. And I thought I was doing a good job of reflecting. Elizabeth comes to pick him up. He gets in the car. Turns out that was not the conversation he felt like we had. And he was explaining to, you can chime in, but just explaining that was not what he experienced.
Visibly frustrated. And didn't want to talk at first. And then he just starts to spill it. And he just said, Dad is just being so frustrating. And he says, I'm not going to get to make this decision. And I'm not even going to get to weigh in. And it's just you guys. And I'm thinking, I'm sure that's not what he said. Mm-hmm. Like thinking that in my mind. Knowing, because I know.
Well, I
explained to him,
way.
I said, maybe understand it this way. All three of us are going to brainstorm. We're going to research. We're going to investigate. We're going to tour schools. We're going to talk to people. All three of us are going to do that together. We're going to hear which one you feel like is the most exciting to you. We're going to listen to you. We're all in this together. But when it comes to actually making the decision, Dad and I hold just a little bit more weight. I was trying to be diplomatic. Said we hold a little bit more weight. And so if we come to an impasse and we disagree, ultimately Dad and I are going to make the decision because we are responsible for you. And he goes, well, Dad didn't say it that way.
Which I did say, and I told Elizabeth later, I was like, no, I didn't, because I was trying to get him out of this conversation because I had responsibility. I was like, dude, I can't talk about this right now. I can talk about this later. You're going to say
Well, in reality, this was all preparing you for this podcast. Kind of how life works sometimes.
It does.
Yeah, you were working on this, but I have something here.
That's
for
a good
you.
Point. That's a great reminder. So the story goes, I got home last night, and just Elizabeth had said, here's kind of what I've picked up that he's feeling that you are not hearing, but he's saying. And she was right. And so we had dinner. And
well, I just said, I think you guys are missing each other. I said, I think.
Yeah, in our last podcast, you had shared that same thing. I'm just apparently in a missing stage with him right now.
Well, but I just said, hey, I think you're missing each other. I think he's not feeling heard by you. And I think you just need to slow down and he just needs to feel heard by you.
Yeah. So Elizabeth was great. We were at dinner. You took the girls up to take a bath because they love baths. And so, they get it from you. They all love baths. Mm-hmm. So so we were just actually sitting at the dinner table and I just tried to, you know, the thing that I always want to do as a dad is try to connect with my son so that he doesn't just think I'm hearing him, but that he feels heard. That his felt experience is I actually know, I feel that way that he's saying, which takes so much more time, by the way. So if that's your goal, be slow to make that your goal. It's a lot to invest in. Anyway, sitting down with him.
Okay, just a minute. I have to insert here.
Sure.
Gold number one. So you're denying gold. Can you just say that one more time, just so that I can fully even understand it?
Yeah, that I want him to feel like he's heard, not just know that he's heard, that yes. he can feel it deeply, that yes. like I know my dad's cool. hearing me. So that's
really important. It reminds me of that quote from, I think it's Osberger.
Oh, yeah.
That being heard yes. is so yes. close to being loved that they're almost the same thing. I'm not quoting yeah. it exactly.
But that idea.
But what you just said is gold, because right. when we're talking about God hearing us, he hears everything we ask. He mm-hmm. he draws near to mm-hmm. to listen to
and
us.
And it's not an indifferent hearing. It's not entering into and everything we feel.
And when
about
he says him. No, it's this beautiful, compassionate no. But yeah. we know he hears us.
Yes, you know? That's true.
It's like the Sally's quoted it, I think, every time she's been on the podcast. But Maya Angelou, who said,
yes.
people forget what you said, they'll forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Yes.
And I think actually some of it stems from that quote or that idea mm-hmm. yeah. that I don't want him to just, well, I guess my dad heard me because he said, did you hear me? And I said, yes.
Yeah, I got to read yeah. it first though. You yes. just reminded me, I just in 1 John 5, I just love this. If we know that he hears us, it talks about the confidence we can have before yes. God. If we know yes. that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we've asked from him, and it's saying we can ask anything according to his will, and he hears us. That's 1 John 5:14-15. So yeah. you now are fathering mm-hmm. like the Father.
That's right.
When you're saying, I want my son to know that I hear him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And hear it. It doesn't say that we're going to get that whatever we ask for, but he hears us in whatever we ask.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we have yes. the request, but how the request gets answered
yeah.
is up to God, because he's perfect love.
Yeah.
And so I just think what you're doing is you're being a father to your son like God is a father to us.
But thank also you. This is spiritual formation in mm-hmm. his life, because mm-hmm. he's experiencing it with you as his dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, he's going to read someday. He's going to read, what was that?
1 John 5:14-15.
He's going to read that someday, and he is in felt experience going to be able to completely, his whole soul will say yes to
yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
uh-huh. because he had a dad who showed mm. him that. And that's mm. gold.
You actually are teaching him how God will listen yes. to him.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he will see that. He yeah. might be when he's reading that someday.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful right. thought.
We have a new offering for you. If you would like to receive daily or weekly text messages and encouragement around parenting, marriage, with prayers and scriptures, click the link in the show notes and we would love to send those to you. Can't wait to connect more with you. Yeah, it's tricky in the moment, but you know, so we had to have this conversation. And I knew I was obviously missing him. So I just said, seems like we're really missing each other on this.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I just don't understand why you want to, you're leaning towards this place and I'm leaning towards this one. I think I should be able to make this decision. I feel capable to make this decision. And I had to explain to him, and I used my, you know, just the idea, like, you're going to feel like you're up here. You know, I'm just, obviously I have one hand higher than the other. You feel like you're going to be up here. Like you're up here ready to like run and, you know, make all these decisions in life, that you're mature enough to do it. But in reality, you're about halfway to the mark mm-hmm. of my hand that I'm making. You're about halfway there. You're not fully ready to make all these decisions. It wouldn't even be wise for you. And I, you know, so I said, that's the reality. And I said, son, I'm your friend, but I'm also your father. And I have to remind you that right now, what you need is not a friend. You need a father. Like the best. And I know that you might want a friend, but the thing you need is a father. And so I'm going to be your father in this situation and say, I love you. I respect you. And I always want to be as close to you as you'll allow me to be. I will always make sure that I'm aware of my own junk and my own stuff and my shadow side, so that we can be as close as possible. Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. But at the same time, in this stage of life, you're not a full adult. You're still a kid. You're still growing up, and you need a father more than you need a friend. And so I'm going to be your father, and mm-hmm. I need you to hear me, that I respect your ideas. I respect that you are having this difference of opinion. And then I asked him, I said, do you want to actually hear why I, I'm favoring this school over this one. And he said, yeah, I just don't understand. Why would you? So I just explained a couple of factors, and they were my own reasons, Elizabeth and I's own convictions and or just practical things. And he just sat and listened. He's like, okay. And so I said, I want to bring you into this conversation. I want you to know that I'm going to listen to you, that we're going to hear you. But at the end of the day, we are going to have to make this decision. We're going to do it highly influenced by what you think and feel, but we are going to make this decision. And I said, so, you know, what are you feeling? Do you actually hear me in that? And like, not only do you know what I'm saying, but do you actually understand what I'm saying? And he goes, I just feel like you don't trust me and you don't think that I'm going to be able to do it. And so obviously the first thing I said, which is I always want my son to feel like I've heard him, I wasn't doing. Like He obviously was saying, what I'm picking up from you, didn't what you're making me feel.
Didn't he say, I feel like you don't believe in me?
Yeah, it was, not trust, that you don't believe in me. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, so obviously, because he's hearing through his own lens, right? So I know that there's some distortion with his own hearing because it's coming through a different, you know, we all have those things where someone will say something, but we interpret it. But obviously I'm not doing a stellar job of clearly communicating what I'm trying to relay. And so I slowed down and was just like, that is 100% not what I feel. So I need to re-articulate myself because I've made you feel something that's actually not what I believe. I totally believe in you. I know that you need this development. I know that whatever situation we put you in, you are going to thrive. You're going to do an incredible job. But you also, and this is where I said, like, I've never had a son who's almost 15 who is going into high school. I've never had to like release a kid like this yet, dude. So you got to respect the fact that I'm a little bit new to this and I'm asking for your patience because I really don't know how to do all this well. And I'm a little scared. Like, it's kind of scary to be like, hey, bud, go into the world. I hope it goes well. And we're not going to release you like that. But there's some of that fear, you know? And I don't want to parent, especially in the high school years, I don't want to parent from a place of fear. But I wanted him to know, like, I'm also feeling a little fearful about some of this stuff. And I'm not by nature a fearful person, as Elizabeth would know. So anyway, we continued to talk and, you know, just some more of the same, me re-explaining some stuff. And I said, now, how do you feel? I said, I hear you and I understand. I just really, I really want to be a part of this decision. I was like, I understand. So I you know, we kind of summed it up and I just said, hey, I think this is a really important, one of the things one of the things I want to teach you through this process and something that you need to know as a man is how to make good decisions. So I said, the kind of like secondary thing of all this is I want to teach you through this process how to make a good decision, not a reactionary decision, but investigate, gather all the information. And then I want us to think it through. Then we're going to bring in prayer and peace of the spirit, like, because that's a whole factor of all this too. What is God leading us to do? So I said, that's what we're going to do. We're going to, you know, hopefully teach you how to make good decisions through this. And then I asked him, I said, do you actually believe that mom and I want your good and are good at making decisions? Do you actually believe that? If you don't, you're fine to say so, but I just want to know, do you actually believe that? And he said, I think you guys are good. You guys are pretty okay at making decisions. Like, okay, good. It wasn't like a stellar yes, but it was like, at least he said, yeah. And then I just, you know, we're sitting across the table. So I just grabbed his hand. I said, we need to pray about this. So then we prayed and just prayed the Spirit would give us peace and unity and that this wouldn't divide us, but it'd bring us closer. And then we watched one of our favorite comedians together and laughed a lot. So that was kind of the story. That's where it derived from. But the thing that I think we're trying to talk about is the gift of no.
You forgot to say the rest of the story, which is the next morning.
Oh, so this oh, is, no, that's, is this
that's
is a separate story.
That's that a separate, was last week.
That was a separate story.
That was a different no.
That's a okay. different no. But actually, you should share. You can share that in 2 seconds. That's actually because I think
yes,
that
and then I there's a way to connect both stories.
Okay,
so
great.
The week before, same kid, same topic of school, but different. He 2 days a week does school with a buddy, and he was just feeling really introverted, and this was a Wednesday night. He was supposed to one day a week they do it at our house, the next another day they do it at his house, and it was time to go to his house, and he was just not feeling it, and he was pulling out every single reason of why we absolutely need to let him stay home. And But it was one of those situations we knew immediately, no, this is something we've committed to. This actually is good for him. He's home a lot. We knew we were going to make him go. And so it was definitely one of those, it's like bedtime, we're all exhausted. I did not do as good of a job as you did of just taking tons of time and slowing down and talking. But this has been kind of a reoccurring conversation. And I just said, buddy, I know that you're feeling all these things. I know you're feeling like you need alone time. As soon as you get home at 3 o'clock, you have the whole rest of the day. There's nothing going on. You're going to get what you need. I understand that you need that. I need the same thing. You're going to get what you need, but you are going to do school.
Mm-hmm. But he also then was still arguing with you because just like, meaning like, I don't know if that's the real no.
Oh, and yeah, he was pushing back
and I walked
hard.
In and I was like, whoa, there's something happening here. And I picked up what's going on. So I asked, I said, Elizabeth, can us dudes just have a minute? And she goes, okay. So he closed the door and I just said, okay, here's the truth. You are used to a life of ease and comfort. That's what a childhood life is like. But we're moving to manhood. You have strong shoulders. You can do hard things. I've seen your life. You know how to do hard things. This actually isn't hard. You just got to learn how to say, I don't love this, but I still have to do it. And I said, that's the lesson that I'm trying to teach you right now. So I understand you don't want to go. You are going to go. I totally respect that you need time. You will have time, but this is part of your formation for your future. And I really need you to just get on board with this. And he's like, and he was mad. He was just like, he looked down. He knew it. I said goodnight to him. You know, there was some tension. There nothing was like, you know, unsettled, but he wasn't happy for the rest of the night.
He wasn't throwing his arms around.
He wasn't excited about it. Good night, Dad. I love you. Thanks for bringing me into the world. Like, what is this? None of that stuff. But then the next morning, it was so funny.
I come downstairs and it's right time for him to leave. And he's making himself coffee and he's got his backpack and he seemed chipper. And I just said, good morning, bud. How you doing? You seem like you're feeling better about today. You're feeling okay about it. And he goes, nope. Feel exactly the same. But I'm a man and I just got to suck it up and do it.
I just love that.
But the funniest part was he had never relayed that he had internalized that, although I had asked him. He had never relayed how much he had internalized that.
Yeah.
And obviously it shows how much he did.
But
this morning,
but what a gift.
I caveat that by saying there, if we were parenting, if anybody was all the time just being like, you need to learn the hard lesson. You just need to do it.
We don't do that.
Suck it up and be a man. That would be super unhealthy.
Yeah.
But
we don't do that
in this situation where we see a bigger picture, we see a boy who, I mean, turning into a man, who can do really hard things, but also has deep feelings and has a great need to go at a slow pace and to be alone. And what we're trying to always thread the needle is the balance of honoring who he is and his capacity while also pushing him a little bit so that he can grow that capacity and not only ever think about
is this going to cost me?
So in this case, we were saying, hey, we honor who you are. We totally get that this is hard for you. Like, but we also know that you are going to get what you need as soon as you get home. Like there is space for that.
So what I'm hearing here is there's two stories. The first story that you told.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys haven't made the school decision yet, but you're preparing him for the possibility of a no.
A very big no.
A big no.
Yes.
And the other one was just, this is life and the answer is no.
Yeah.
In either case, children need this very strong, loving no, and it's actually a gift. Just like God says no all the time. No, that is not good for you.
Yes.
I mean, how many no's are in the Bible? Yes. Don't do this. Because you'll destroy yourself.
Well, how many knows?
How many knows?
Yes.
You know, right, and so right. I just think, you know, Diane and I talk at times when we had the privilege of planting a church in Portland in 2004, and so many young people came, and, you know, so many from broken homes, many that didn't have a father like you. Having the talk takes a lot of time. This parenting is it's the hardest job on planet Earth and the most rewarding. And when you put in the hard work, you're going to reap years of joy down the line, but it's easier to just, you know, give in or give up, you know, or just get out, you know. It's like
it's those way are all, easier to say
those,
yes.
It's easier to do those three things, but when you hang in and you do the hard work, a blessing is coming. But you know, we saw so many young men who didn't have that,
and were raised by their mom, who loved them to pieces and did the best she could, but without the presence of a strong
and these were and godly men.
These were godly men, yeah. but you saw as they were now coming under the authority of God, who was giving them no's, sometimes harder for them to receive that no, both from God, but also even from others in authority over them, because what they really missed was this. Whereas if you talk to them, they might think they missed, you know, the fishing trip with dad or throwing the football, of which they did. Those are precious, precious times watching a comedian together and laughing together. But they also miss the firm, loving no of a father and a mother is a gift. And I think that's one of the things we're trying to say in this podcast is that, yes, the pendulum was too far one way and then way too far the other way. Well, how do you really feel? Oh, if you feel that way about it, then we just won't do it then. You know, it's like, well, you're not helping them.
That's not helpful.
You're not helping them. And so I think that's what we're trying to say is it's okay to say no, but there's a way to do it, which I think we're going to talk about with love and compassion and all that.
And what we noticed in some of these young men growing up without the presence of a father, not a belligerent dictator father, but a father who's actively involved and willing sometimes to be not authoritarian, but authoritative. That it's like a brick wall, you know. Sometimes in life you just hit a brick wall, and that's what some of those no's are. And if those boys aren't getting those in small incremental pieces throughout their whole life, and then all of a sudden a boss, a teacher, a school board, whatever, gives them a hard no, that's like a brick wall, and they just are stunned by it instead of prepared for what is inevitable in life.
Yeah. And one of the things I want to highlight that both of you are saying, but maybe just to go into it a little bit more practical. So for those who are listening, going like, okay, that's what it looks like with a almost 15-year-old boy / man. That was just a story. But I mean, there's times when we have to, I think that we've talked about this before on the podcast. We have a whole episode on it, but kindness and firmness. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. You have to, and what I found, when I am firm and rude and just say no, it can be so destructive. But the moment I can be kind, thoughtful, compassionate, empathetic, listen, and still hold the line in a calm way, even though they don't like it, it is so much easier for them to receive. And it's not from a place of like rebellion. They're not going, ah, they're going, I think I get it. Now, we've done it wrong plenty of times, like I said, but I think even with our little ones, this morning, we're trying to have a conversation. It seems like every time Elizabeth and I talk, both of our little girls are deciding it is their time to talk to us about everything ever felt in their entire lives.
Right now.
Right in this moment. And you can't not give me your attention. And so anyway, Sloane was putting something on a banister, but there was like a drop off, and this stuff that these toys that she's playing with, if they fall off, they fall like almost 15 feet and they will kill someone if they're walking underneath. And so we're like, sweetheart, we'd really love you to not play on the banister. So can you take those toys off? You know, no big deal.
I don't really want to. I don't want to do that.
He's like, but I need to play with them up here.
I was like, sweetheart, listen, there's...
As toys start falling.
Yeah, I was like, there's other banisters. Please move it. And she's like, oh, but I don't want to.
We gave her like four other places she could put them. Yeah.
And I just said, hey, listen, here's the deal. If you do not listen, there's going to be consequences. So this is up to you. And then I just ignored her. You know, she was like, okay, listen. And she's like, still just not happy. And so I looked over again, just giving her some space. And I just said, you need to move your stuff right now. And she finally was like, you know, she slowly relented, but she did. And she moved it and she figured it out. Now, if I would have just been like, you know, too hard or too rough, she would have just freaked out and immediately rejected. Yes. I mean, that's happened so many times. And so she did comply. It was just longer than I would have hoped. And she was more whiny than I would have hoped. And we had to address that too. But I guess all to say, like, you do still have to find a way in your own kind of language with your kids to still say no, not to just like say, hey, one day we might have to say no. But to say no, because they need that. They need that in their life. Our kids need that.
It's like, so you're saying kindness plus firmness is going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You quoted a verse, but I think we should say where the verse is. Romans 2:4. Just simply says, do you think lightly of the riches of God's kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you yes. to repentance. So you had to lead her. She did not want to go there.
Yeah.
And instead of just bam, but bringing down the, you know, the hammer, mm-hmm. you showed kindness, but also firmness.
Well,
and
a story that I think even illustrates that better is we had a similar situation because we deal with this all the time. You guys, I mean, think if you're a parent listening, you have already said no 15 times today, like mm-hmm. if not more. And I mean, we get the, hey, can we wake up tomorrow and watch a show? We're like, it's not Saturday. The answer is no. Like, what? Like, why are you even asking? You know? But that said, the other night, our sweet little Scarlett, she was overwhelmed. She had a babysitting job and she had an event that night. And she kind of felt like it was okay for her to say, I just really don't think I should be having to do school tomorrow. And she's saying this to Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's like, that's not how this works. Like, we're not going to be.
You have, after a three-day weekend.
Yeah, you have to do school tomorrow. Like, this is how that you got to do it. And she just, you know, starts feeling a lot and feeling a lot of emotions. And we were getting nowhere. And so Elizabeth just said, hey, why don't we just give her some space? And so I was like, okay. And I was irritated because I had tried to talk to her and she was just not, clearly not hearing anything I'm saying, not listening. So that was just personally frustrating to me. So she went into our room and she's feeling a lot. She's crying. She's not happy about any of this. And Elizabeth was upstairs. I was downstairs. And she texts me and says, hey, I think if you can be like really, you know, gentle version of dad.
It's a gentle daddy.
Gentle daddy.
And you like, if you go in as gentle daddy.
And ask her if she wants tea or something, I think it could probably just help her come out of this. And I'm like, and I just text her back, I'm not ready. Like, I need a couple minutes to be calm before I'm like going, hey, what do you want? You're being a punk. Hey, why don't I just serve you? Like,
that well, takes and I knew if I tried to do it, it would not work at all because I'm the one who holds the line with school. And I knew it would just immediately go into negotiation mode. Yeah. But I had this thought of, I think if he goes in real gentle, I just want to take care of you. I think she will diffuse and we'll get somewhere.
So she has such a strong, like if you care for that girl, she melts. She melts in a second. So, yeah.
Which can I just add? this is our first adolescent girl. So I won't say that this is true across the board, but I have a hunch, we'll see, because we have two more coming up, that every adolescent girl melts at that because they are going through so many wild emotions that feel wildly out of control.
Sure.
She even said like a year ago when hormones were really starting to ramp up and she just was crying and she just goes, what's happening to me? but I think that's what it feels
a
like.
A little pampering goes a long way. But you know what? I just was answering an email from a husband asking me how he could help pursue and love his very pregnant wife. And so yeah, obviously there have been some, you know, conversations between them, probably not great ones. And he was just genuinely asking to have some ideas.
Yeah.
And this was my number one thing. I think she needs to be pampered. Mm-hmm. Pregnancy is really hard on women. And it's hard on their bodies. It's hard on their emotions. It's hard on their hormones and how they look in the mirror, especially when you're towards the end. They say, oh yes. My gosh, what did I do?
And we say as pregnant women, what is happening to me?
Exactly.
If you're enjoying this content and you want to go deeper, we have an amazing resource that we want to tell you about. It's the Intentional Film Series, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. Now, this is an incredible tool for you for spiritual formation in the family. And we created this film series to help parents in their God-given task to raise and disciple their own children. Now, our hope is that we're able to help you and give you some of the tools that I know we so desperately need as we're in the process of raising our kids, and Phil and Diane have actually raised their kids. This is a 9-session film series on the process of what raising a passionate Jesus follower actually looks like. There's some workable solutions in here. There's a bunch of wisdom from the scriptures, and there's a bunch of practical help in your journey as you are raising your children. We cover all sorts of things like parental roles, goals versus values. What is discipline versus punishment? How do I create a heart of obedience in my child where they actually want to obey? What does a heart of self-control look like? Or how do I even help my child in the process of character development? We cover that and so many more things. You can use this film series in a variety of ways. You can use it at your home, preferably with your spouse if that's applicable, with a group of friends or in your community, or even through your local church. All you need to do is head over to our website, intentionalparents.org, click on film series, and then follow the prompts. We have a bunch of other resources there that you can check out, but we do pray that this blesses you in your pursuit of raising passionate Jesus followers. Okay, well, the rest of the story is just simple, but so I go in, she's still crying. I didn't even acknowledge that she was upset. I just said, "Hey, sweetie, do you want some tea?" And she goes, "Do we have chamomile?" And I was like, "I think we do. How do you take it?" She's like, "Just a little honey." I was like, "Okay." And then I said, and then I just said to her, you know, because she was sitting, we have a couch in our room. I said, "Hey, would it just make you feel better to fall asleep on our couch? Kind of mom and I will be in here. You just fall asleep and you can read." She's like, "I think, yeah, maybe." I was like, "Okay, I'll go get your stuff. I'll go get your pillow and a blanket and I'll get your book." And, you know, and the whole time I'm still irritated, but I'm like, I think it was, you know, because she was just diffusing. She was totally diffusing. And so I get her the tea, I get her the blanket. And before I could even give her the tea, she's like, "I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry for arguing." You know, it's like she immediately, wow, the kindness of God leads to repentance. Yes. I didn't have to talk to her about it. We didn't change our minds. We didn't do anything.
No,
we
still got up the next morning and did all of her school.
All of her school, didn't even argue about it. The next, and it was Elizabeth's hunch. It was that kindness, you know, and yes. I was, you know, it's not a big pat on the back for me because I was doing it reluctantly. I was more doing it because I was like, "I just need this to end. I got to go to sleep." So it was interesting to see how it unlocked this part of her. And I think just one last thing before you say it, Phil, what I've learned with my girls, especially when dads who have all of this strength and represent strength and intensity and power really to their kids, but also their girls, when you soften and show them tenderness, it is, I mean, just such an amazing thing. They melt. Yes. I've seen that so many times with my girls. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So we're talking about the gift of no. And your first point that is when you have to bring this no, whether it's a hard no or just a daily kind of no, gentleness plus firmness will bear fruit. Kindness will bear fruit. The second one is, look what just happened. The second one would be, parenting together also bears fruit. Parenting together is powerful. Parenting together brings good results. So we'd like to say parenting is a wisdom issue. It's not an exact science. Mm-hmm. Every situation is different. Every child is different. So you listen to Elizabeth. She had a sense. She knew you were struggling with some anger. She said, "I think gentle daddy is the right move." And you could have said, "Forget gentle daddy. I'm going to go in there." You said, "I'm going to listen to my wife." So she had a intuition, an insight. I'm not the one to go in next. You are.
Yeah.
And then look at the fruit. And she you came in and you listened to her and you gave it a shot, even though you weren't necessarily, quote, feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's obedience to that's submitting one to another. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, wives and husbands submit one to another. And then there's some specifics after that. But I think that's what you did. So that's a point here. It's a teaching point is listen to each other and parent together. And in this case, it was kindness that you needed to bring into it. Yeah. Romans 2:4, kindness of God leads to repentance. So
I think most of our kids, thank you for that. And I think most of our kids, all four of ours anyway, I think most kids in general though, when your parents are genuinely kind, or you as a parent are genuinely kind, it changes the whole dynamic.
It does.
When they know that you're not being rude or snarky or like pretend, like you're just kind of like being, last night, Birdie was having a really hard time because she was supposed to be sleeping in her bed, but Sloan wanted to sleep in her bed because Birdie wanted to sleep somewhere else, and Birdie could not fathom the fact.
This is reality.
This is real.
Yes, Birdie slept in Scarlett's bed because Scarlett spent the night at your guys' house. Because
she wanted to get away from all this for a little while.
And Birdie was doing great until she saw that Sloan was sleeping in her bed.
And she just couldn't fathom it. And so I'm telling her, I'm like, "Okay, so here's your choices. You can sleep in your bed, but if you do that, Sloan can sleep in Scarlett's bed. So you can't have all the things. You can't be in both beds." And she looks and she goes, and she thought I was like joking with her, which I wasn't. And she's like, "Stop it. That's not funny." And I was like, "Sweetheart, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just giving you the facts. Like, you can't sleep over there and over here." She's like, "Stop. It's not funny." And I was like,
"She doesn't read emotions."
No, she doesn't always. But that said, like, even at the thought that I was joking with her, she hated it. She did not, like, it doesn't work, is all to say. Yeah, because And I wasn't actually joking with her, but I joke with all of my kids far enough for them to go like, okay, well, dad says stuff and it's not always real because he jokes with us all the time. So anyway, it doesn't go a long way. So being snarky or rude doesn't help.
But I think to your point, Dad, of what you said of like, when you can tap into that partnership as parents, we all get overloaded at times. We yep. all reach the point where we're like, mm-hmm. I said no, just because I said so, stop. You know, mm-hmm. I get there all the time. And I know we've joked at the times recently when I've had to point things out to Brooke, but he all the time in the reverse is having yeah. to point out to me yeah. when I'm just saying no automatically with no thought.
Yes.
Because yeah. when I get stressed, that's what I do. I'm just trying no.
yeah. That's a very good impression of yourself. That was good. Our kids would be incredibly blessed by that impression.
They would. Then they would fully agree. But you have to say to me of like, why are you saying no about that? Is it because you have to say no or just have you yeah. taken the time to think about
yeah.
it? Like,
yeah.
And that's where when you can really be humble enough to listen to each other and mm-hmm. we do not get it right all the time or no. say it right. Like if you're going to
yes.
suggest your spouse should handle something differently, you have to be very tactful in
and
how
respectful.
Yeah.
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 And I think I did it wrong for so many years and am just even beginning to learn to say things like, hey, I know you want to hear Duke. I know that's what you're trying to do. And you probably are actually doing a good job, but he's not actually feeling hurt. So you just need yeah. to know that. And then I have to kind of walk away and just yeah. let it simmer.
Yeah, let yeah it because I don't also, you know, I'm not always aware of it. So it's hard because sometimes it's out of the blue. You're just yeah. like, I wasn't even aware of this thing. And you first have to process that that's even a problem. And then you have to process that you're doing it wrong. Then you have to process that you have to change it. So there's those things. So I wonder if everything will fall under these categories. But before we leave you, we just want to give you three things we've really learned, like three don'ts. Don't do these three things. And then three do's. You know, let's do some negative and some positive. Three things that you should definitely not do. And three things that I think when it comes to saying no and giving the gift of no, might be helpful. Anything before we get into those, you guys?
No, just this one verse stood out to me in 1 Timothy 6:6,
oh, yeah.
an application here of this verse that we all know and we all hear, but this is the gift you're giving your kids when you are willing to do this hard work. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I struggle at 64 years old, having walked with the Lord since I was 15. I still struggle to have godliness and contentment at the same time. But the foundation you're laying for your kids in these no moments with all the compassion and all the explaining and the patience and all of that, but it is really going to help your child along the way to be content because they're going to just be used to being able to say, okay, that no, and I didn't like it, but look how it turned out.
I didn't die.
And actually, I did. I'm content.
Yeah.
Thrilled? Right. No.
Yeah.
You know, almost like Duke. He wasn't thrilled, but he actually had contentment written all over his facial feature and his body language. Mm-hmm. And that's a great gift.
Well, it's easy to forget that that's actually our job to teach our kids, because if we don't teach it to them in a micro space, the macro will, and it's really painful.
That's right. I think some people never are able to be content with their real life.
Yes. It's the most loving thing to teach your kids that. So the three don'ts. The first one would be don't be avoidant. That idea of peace at any price.
Yeah.
Don't be somebody who avoids these hard conversations. It doesn't make the problem go away. It doesn't help your kids.
No.
Don't be avoidant. Secondly, we'll go to because no one had anything to say, I'll go to the second one. I'll read the three and then we can talk about them. Second one is don't be dismissive.
Yeah.
Don't dismiss the emotion. Don't dismiss the person. Don't dismiss that this no might be really hard for them and really easy for you. That can be a really big miss. And then
which means you sometimes have to slow way down. And
most of the time, that's exactly what it means.
And jettison your plans in order to be fully present.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the last one that we're talking about, don't be snarky or sarcastic. Like that doesn't bear fruit. It's just the story I was just sharing.
It's belittling. Yeah.
And our kids know it and they become really rough people when they do that.
Yeah.
So those are the three don'ts. And we really want to encourage you, don't be avoidant, don't be dismissive, and don't be snarky or sarcastic, because that will not bear fruit. Yeah. Anything before we move on to the do's? Okay, so the do's. What to do? Three things that we've just identified that we have found just really helpful in this journey. First one is put on compassion. Mm-hmm. Maybe just give us a, I know, Phil, I think you might have a verse, but also let's give just a quick example of what that might look
and
like.
And I love the wording of that, because that's a biblical idea. It's like putting on clothing in this context. Mm. You actually don't have to be feeling compassionate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You put it on like you put your jacket on.
Yes. You want me to read it?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, because you're talking about the verse. We didn't read it yet. So the put on, if you're wondering, what is she talking about? Actually, there's a verse in Romans that says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Yeah. And make no provision for the flesh. So it is like the idea of getting up in the morning and putting clothing on. But Colossians 3:12, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, that's who we are. Yes. God's chosen us and we're loved by him. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then it goes on and beyond all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. We've been talking about genuine love. But I think here it's compassion. Put on a heart of compassion. That's feeling another person's pain.
Yeah.
Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience.
And again, these are things we aim for. They're not always things that we can do 100% of the time. And this is not something we do 100% of the time, but I am sure that we try to do it more than we don't. And there's fruit from that. Yeah. So first thing is to put on compassion. Second thing to do is to listen and reflect back. This is like a simple, but my goodness, especially when your kids get a little bit older and you can have some conversations with them, even with our almost six and almost 8-year-old, this is really powerful to listen and to reflect back. I hear you saying, so in this situation, Duke's telling me all these different things. So I hear you saying that this school, for these reasons, are really helpful. Like you actually think that this is going to be helpful for you, and you think that this is going to be good for you, and you don't think that these things that I'm concerned about are actually a factor. Is that what I hear you saying?
Yeah.
And he has a chance to go, or he goes, no, and he can correct himself.
But that's key. The listen and reflect back and asking the question, do I have that right?
Yeah.
Am I understanding that right? Correct me where I'm wrong. Yeah.
And you're this going is why, in with an attitude of curiosity.
Uh-huh. Yes. The beautiful thing about that statement, especially as your kids get older, is I would say 9 times out of 10, they will either say yes and they'll tell me more, or no and they'll correct the thing. And like you can get so much further, so much faster by reflecting back what you think you hear them saying and asking if you got it right. Because how often do we think that we're hearing our kids, but we're not actually fully hearing, or they don't think that we're fully hearing. Mm-hmm. But if it does so many things, it assures them that we really do want to understand and know. Mm-hmm. But it also is an opportunity, especially the ones that don't talk a ton or offer a lot. It creates totally open door for them to tell you more.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, remember you started with Jesus, who's always the perfect example. Mm-hmm. Mark 14, remove this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. We want to raise kids that one day can trust, you're teaching them to trust their earthly father and mother, but one day that they can trust their heavenly father. Yes. I really want this, Lord. I really hope I get this job, or I really want to do this thing.
Yes.
But not my will, but yours be done. And that's where blessing comes, because Jesus said if we want to follow him, we need to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him, because he knows the path for us to take. We're raising kids in that way. And so we're living life on this plane, but we're teaching them a very deeper truth.
You're right.
And that's your point of listen and reflect, because the psalm says that God actually bends down and listens. It's one of my favorite psalms.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that's what listening and reflecting really is doing. He's bending. He's giving you the sense. David had the felt experience that God had actually bent down and listened to him.
Yes.
He'd been heard.
I love, And I think when our kids feel heard, like Phil said, they feel loved.
Yes.
They feel love.
Yes.
And then the third thing to do, and this is something that is hard, but is so necessary, is practice humility. We really have to try in these moments to go, you know, because when your kids start to reflect back, or you have some space where they actually say, you're making me feel this way, it's going to bring all sorts of things up in you. Not only like, whoa, I would have never been able to talk to my parents this way, which is kind of the point. Like if you're having this conversation and you're able to have that openness, of course you could have never said that to your parents because you never had that type of relationship with your parents, which is actually probably something you regret. You probably wanted more closeness. So if your kids say things that like bring stuff up and you don't do whatever the trigger response was that your parents had, like do as I say, not as I do. Like, are you kidding? That's the dumbest thing to ever say to your kids. Yeah. But like, because I said so, that's really not a good reason. That's really ignorant to say because I said so. Like it's a top down non-relational authoritarian word, like phrase that doesn't help. So I think for us, if we can go, maybe I don't have all of this right as parents on the parental side. Oh my goodness. Is it create so much less tension in these moments of no, and really being open, not just saying like, I'm open. Like I told Elizabeth and I told Duke again today, I actually have not made a decision. I'm not doing one of those things where I've made a decision, but said I haven't made a decision. I'm 100% with integrity. Haven't made a decision on these different or differing potentials of places you could go. I'm wanting to gather evidence and I'm really open to see what Jesus is going to lead us to in peace and all of that. So practicing humility, that's something definitely to do always, but especially in this, when you have to say no.
And I think one thing that we have to keep in mind is that we are all going to blow it. We certainly did. Times when you're rushing, you have too much coming down on you and you just say no. Just, just do it this time, you know? But then to be, that practicing humility, that's that rupture of relationship, of trust, and then going back and saying, I'm sorry for my impatience. Or even if you don't have the wisdom or the insight to be able to say it immediately, you can go back and say it when they're all grown up and say, I wish that I had done more of this kind of thing that we're talking about today. I know I certainly feel that way. I wish that I'd understood more how to draw my kids out and how to get them to understand that I understood how they were feeling or to enter into them. But you can go back and in humility, you can repair that now.
You can. You're right.
And that's, there's always that hope.
Well, I think you were going to close us with and read a motherly blessing over us today. The beautiful no, or the gift of no, whichever you prefer. Your kids need to hear it. And maybe, why don't you just read and close us today?
For those of you who are doing the hard work of this, and it is hard work. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. That's 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 16 and 17.